Okay, hopefully you're still awake. This morning's Bible readings, the first one is from the prophet, the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 41, verses 8 to 13. So Isaiah 41, reading verses 8 to 13, and I am reading from the New International Version. But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its furthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. And then the second reading from the New Testament is from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Verses which I'm sure are very familiar to many of us. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always until the end of the age." May God speak to each one of us this morning through his word. Amen.
Thanks, Helen. Well, good morning, everyone. Why don't you turn around and say good morning to each other after your masks? If you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 41 as we continue to think about this idea of God with us. As we've said already, this is our covenant service, which we do every year at the beginning of the year, where we just recommit ourselves to God, to one another, to the life and mission of the church, and we just affirm our involvement with that as we go into this brand new year. Obviously, I was saying last week, it's a challenging year, yet I think in the midst of those challenges, we are going to find new opportunities and exciting new opportunities. And so although we can't be naive entering into this year, and we maybe do it with a sense of intrepidation, nevertheless, we should do it with a sense of hope and optimism. And as I was thinking about the year, I was sort of wondering where should we be emphasizing, or what should we be emphasizing as we come into this new year? And I thought it would be good to initially just to remind ourselves of some of the keynotes that we hit last year when we were talking about a new sense of vision for the church. And you might remember that series where we were talking about an ever-increasing circle and the picture of a stone dropping into a pond. And the epicenter of that being our worship of God and the importance of corporate worship and the dimension of that. And I fundamentally believe that 2022 is going to be a fight for corporate worship. And I'm going to pin my colors to the mast right now. I believe corporate worship is fundamental to Christian expression. And I would hope I didn't have to argue too hard to convince you of that. That actually the coming together of believers is the appropriate and normative state for the church of God. And that that worship is important. And there is something that we get. And again, I don't want to get too esoteric, but I believe that there is a sense of God's Spirit imparted through the gathering of his people, which is not conveyed through other medium. Now, that's not to say that there are not periods where corporate worship has to adapt and change. And it's not to say that we shouldn't thank God for the blessing of technology. But nevertheless, the worship of God and the gathering of the people to worship God is fundamental to biblical expression of our faith. And it begins there. But that worship of God cannot just stop in terms of a Sunday morning. It cannot just stop in terms of us coming to church. And it has to permeate every aspect of our lives. And again, in 2022, I think there's going to be a real challenge as we think about what that means for worship to permeate our lives. As we move up towards Easter, we're going to be looking at a series developing the theme of mission, and not just mission in terms of evangelism, but mission in terms of what is the role that you have in your workplace, and what does that mean? One of the big challenges I think that we're going to see in 2022, and it's already happening, is many, many people who are able to retire are retiring because the prospect of work is now just in a different hemisphere from where it was 2 years ago. And so those that can retire are retiring, and this is creating lots and lots of gaps, but it's also creating lots and lots of stresses and pressures. And that means that those who remain in work as we go into 2022 are going to be faced with a challenge of what does it mean to be a Christian in the workplace? And we're hoping as we get into this year, we're going to explore that. What does Christian witness mean in our workplace? And touch on what's called whole life discipleship, some of the materials that come out of the London Institute, and explore that. But that also equally applies to those that are retired. And I'm going to tread into dangerous territory later on, so it's worth coming back just for the controversy. But what does it mean to be retired? You know, what is retirement, and what is the nature of that? And does retirement mean that we no longer are called into the mission of God? And so we're going to explore those themes as well as we develop that. So worship has to be a whole life experience. And then we move on to the idea of inclusion. As our worship of God emanates out from our corporate worship to our lives, that it begins to invite others into that worship. The importance of children, the importance of young people, the importance of those on the margins being invited into the life of the church, and the need for the church to be an inclusive place where everybody feels welcomed. We have to watch in our culture where inclusion has become synonymous with this idea that we don't challenge. And I think that inclusion should also make room for challenge. But nonetheless, we should be an inclusive community. A community where everybody feels welcome and greeted on equal terms. And again, it's got to be an aspiration for the church. as we move into 2022. And I believe before COVID, this was the greatest challenge that the church was facing, the question of inclusion. And how do we create churches which affirm and invite people to come as they are, but not stay as they are? And to be that kind of inclusive church. And I think Rosie's going to pick up some of these themes next week as we look at what it means to care for one another within this community. And then lastly, the theme of transformation. So that inclusion has to emanate out into transformation and into transforming of our world. It's not enough for Christians just to be a presence. It's not enough for us just to be there. It's not enough for us to have our church doors open. We have to have an impact in terms of our society. We have to be a transformational influence in the context that we find ourselves. And again, what that means and what that looks like is a massive challenge. And it's kind of that challenge, really, that drives everything else, from our worship to our inclusion, to actually seeing the transformation of our lives, of our communities, and ultimately of our world, and the call to that. And all of this can be put under the title of mission. You see, I think as we enter 2022, the challenge for us as a community is not to turn inward, but to look outward. It's easy when things are tough for you to be introspective, to be preoccupied with your own life and your own issues. It's actually easy to do that when things are good for you as well. Introspection is our natural default. It's where we tend to go when things are hard, and it's where we tend to go when things are good. We tend to get disconnected from what's happening around us. But I believe the great challenge and call of God on his people as we enter 2022 is the challenge of mission. That call that we heard in Matthew 28 of go into all the world, go to all the people groups, it says, and preach the gospel, teaching them everything I've commanded you and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. The challenge of the mission of the church, reaching out into its world. And as we think about the theme of mission, and we're going to deal with themes relating to mission over the next 12 weeks or so as we move towards Easter, I want to really divide this into two parts. A consideration of mission in terms of the margins, and I'm calling it mission on the margins. And what I want to think about is actually the mission that has gone on in the church just in the last few months, reaching out into our communities. There is a series of remarkable stories and amazing things that have been happening in the life of the church. And often we don't hear these stories, but I want to try and make us more aware of some of the things that have been going on. For instance, at Christmas, we normally support people in different ways, and we gift folks various things through the Christmas period. We probably distributed gifts at almost six times the level that we normally do. And again, a lot of that is related to making difference in people's lives. And I want you to be aware of where that's happening and how that's happening. We've been seeing incredible and exciting things in terms of our outreaches at the FLC and at the Haven, and just some of the lives that are now being impacted and some of the things that are going on and that have developed and continue to develop despite the constrictions of COVID and what's been going on and the challenges that we face to our running of our church life. And so I want us to get a sense of how God has been working to touch lives over the last few months. And hopefully we're going to have a baptismal service at the weekend of our the next gathering at the end of February. And we'll have a baptismal service, hopefully, where we'll hear some stories of people whose lives have been touched by the work of God over the last few months. And then we're going to look at the idea of mission in terms of our work, like I was saying, and we're going to look at what does that mean? What does the mission of God mean? But this morning I want to turn to the theme of the basis of that mission. And we see that basis in Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah is all about God rolling out his plan and Isaiah revealing the purposes of God and the work of God and how the work of God is going to move forward. And so from Isaiah 40, we start to have this proclamation of how God is going to work and if his project in terms of reaching the world. You'll know in the New Testament writers pick up on this project and explain it, a lot of what Jesus is about in terms of this project, in terms of this transformation. And really from Isaiah 41, we're reading about the mission of God becoming the mission of God's people. Because God is a missional God, and we affirm that in the coming of Jesus. So the church is called to be an missional expression. It's called to be an expression of the mission of God. And Isaiah, as he develops this theme, begins with the notion that we are chosen by God. He mentions Jacob and Israel. And I think Abraham's mentioned as well. And these references are trying to develop the idea that God has blessed you in order to be a blessing. You have been blessed by God in order to be a blessing. See, it's very easy to kind of think, we want to be blessed by God, bless us. And good things happen. And maybe good things have happened to you this week or things have gone your way or something positive has taken place and you feel blessed by God and you say, thank you, God. And I'll come to church and I'll sing and I'll feel blessed and that's great. And I'll just be in my little world and it's a blessed little world and I'm thankful that I'm blessed and maybe nobody else is, but I'm blessed and that's great and that's a good place to be. But that's not the heart or the mission of God. It's not the heart or the mission of this church. We are blessed in order to be a blessing. And Isaiah prophesies in terms of the people of God, and he explains that you have been called by God. This idea of we use the theological word, the election of God. But it means God's chosen you. And that there's a specific purpose in your life, and God has appointed you to a specific thing. It's a very key notion. I believe it's one of the most important ideas throughout the Old and New Testament, this idea of God's election. And as we come to our covenant service, we want to affirm this notion of election. If you know anything of Baptist theology, you'll know this was an important idea in Baptist thinking. But the idea that you have been called by God to be part of a community. And so as we take our covenant vows today, what we're recognizing is that God has called us to be part of his church. He has called us not only into a relationship with himself, but he has called us into a relationship with one another. And as a covenant God, he is about making covenants with each other. And the reason that we are part of SBC, the reason that we should be here, is not because we think X is really good or Y is brilliant, but because we have a sense that God has called us. Now, that calling of God does not guarantee that you will, one, agree with everything, or two, that you will necessarily be comfortable and enjoy everything. Sometimes it will be hard. Sometimes you will find that you don't always get along with people. Sometimes you'll find that covenant commitment to a community of God's people is much better on television, watching it when you can switch it off when you disagree with what the preacher says. You know, but the covenant that God calls us is a calling to a relationship with Him and to a relationship with one another. And so the key factor that we have to ask ourselves is, am I called by God to be part of this community? Now, here's the other thing. You know, if people aren't called by God to be part of the community, that's okay. You know, what isn't okay is if you're called to be part of the community and you aren't part of the community. That's disobedience. But it's okay if we recognize that sometimes God calls people to other settings and situations. And we have to trust people that they're hearing from God and they're part of that calling. But what's vital is that those of us who are here have a sense that God has chosen us and that we are called into community. And that's why we do this covenant exercise every year. It's not just some religious ritual. We're affirming the calling of God on our lives and the calling of God in our community. But it's also a call, as we see, not to be just part of a community of God's people, not to be an expression of the new Israel, as suggested by Paul, but it's also a calling to be part of the mission of God. You see, when we affirm that we're called by God, we aren't called just to sit in seats and pews. We aren't called just to come on a Sunday morning and sing hymns. We aren't called just to give our money. We aren't called just to hang out and have nice little fellowship groups with people that we like. We are called to engage in God's mission. And again, here's the thing. If we aren't engaging in the mission of God that we are called to, then we're in a place of disobedience. Because the calling of God is to engage with the mission of God. And ultimately, a people that don't engage in the mission of God become complacent. And that's the story of Israel that we see. And so Isaiah is reminding them that you have been chosen by God to be part of a community and be part of the mission. And then he says, as this challenge is put out, he says to them, do not fear. Do not fear. If there was ever a theme that we needed for 2022 is do not fear. I honestly think that in the last 2 years, I have never anticipated in my lifetime, in peacetime, the type of generating of fear that we have seen. It has been phenomenal, phenomenal. I mean, I sometimes go and visit people or chat to people, and you know, they're terrified, or people have been terrified at points of even leaving their house. And you go, what on God's earth has generated that kind of impression? We know that there have been little groups of behaviorists that have sat down and said, how do we cajole the behaviors of an entire population? And they've thought of different ways of doing that. And part of that has been the propagation of fear. I know people, and again, it's something that we're picking up in terms of ministry, where fear has so taken hold of people's life that there are now new levels of psychological anxiety that you just would never anticipate. Again, we've seen it with young people, but it's not just been with young people. It's been through different generations where a fear has taken hold of individuals. And again, there's a healthy fear and a sensible fear, but there is also a fear which crosses that line and becomes unhealthy. And I think it's in relation to that that God is speaking, and he's saying to the people, do not fear. Fear should not be the driver that shapes our behaviors. And again, I think that's a biblical principle. It should not be fear that is at the heart of what we do or don't do, but a sense of two things. First of all, that God is with us and that he is our God. And these are the two ideas that are affirmed in verse 10. God is with us and he is our God. And again, two very powerful ideas that should address fear. First of all, God is with us. Some of you will be aware, I didn't talk about it last week, but on New Year's Eve, my son was very seriously ill, and he was in hospital, and there was active discussions going on about whether he would be put into an induced coma and placed on a ventilator. And I was driving back, and obviously, all the fear is there, and rightly so. And you begin to run scenarios in your head. But in that place, a reassurance, and for Christians, there has to be a reassurance that God is with us. And that, you know, as we face challenging and maybe even life-threatening situations, we know the presence of God. And sometimes in difficult places, you have to drill down to know the assurance that God is with us. And sometimes you have to drill down to find that when you're in an overwhelming situation. But the second thing that you need to understand is not only that God is with us, but that he is our God. And what Isaiah is trying to get over here is he's trying to say, this is the creator God. This is the God who controls the universe, who regulates the stars. Some of you have seen that over Christmas. They launched a new telescope into space that apparently is going to let us see the universe like never before. But this is an insight into God's handiwork. What God regulates, this vast, incredible universe. And yet this God, the God who regulates the universe, is interested in you and your situation. This God is on your side. Do not fear. Then we find three promises being made on the back of this affirmation of do not fear. We hear that God promises that he will help you. I will help you. It's interesting that the command not to fear is reiterated several times. And right at the end in verse 13, it's again affirmed. But also this idea that God's going to help you. And you have to understand that whatever 2022 may bring, and again, I'm not saying here that 2022 is going to be the best year you've ever had in your life. I think we are facing massive challenges as we enter this. But we have the promise that this God will help us in whatever we're dealing with and facing. And secondly, he promises that I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. Some of you will know that many folks have had COVID over the last few weeks. And you'll know that when you've had the virus, it impacts people to different degrees, but most people feel coming out of it. We talk about a post-viral fatigue, but even people talk about long COVID. And you'll know that what you start to do, well, certainly I do, is you start to turn to your vitamins cabinet, and you start to pump vitamins into things that you've no idea what they're doing to your system, but you just pump them in because you think it might be good for you. Why? Because you want to recover your strength. And the promise of being strengthened by God is this idea that, you know, the people of God have suffered a trauma. They've been in a place where they've not been where they should be, where their power and strength has been dissipated, where they've experienced exile for the children of Israel. But here God promises that I will strengthen you. And so there's a promise that God will revitalize. And so the notion of God's Holy Spirit working in our lives. And again, for us, 2022 offers an opportunity to discover God working in our lives and bringing us supernatural strength, possibly in a way that we've never experienced before. Lastly, he turns and he says, "And I will uphold you." And we're told the phrase that's used here is, it says, "Do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, because I myself will help you," declares the Lord. And there's a promise here that God is saying that help will be there because the NIV uses the translation in verse 10, "I will uphold you because of my righteous right hand." In other translations, the word righteous is translated as Victoria's right hand. But it also, if you again drill down on that word Victoria's right hand, what does that mean? And if you drill down, it's the idea of my salvation. It actually is this idea of my deliverance, the right hand of my deliverance. And what's being promised here is that you are going to see God work, that you are going to see God deliver and bring salvation. And as you see God deliver and bring salvation, it will uphold you. What does it mean, uphold you? You'll get encouraged. And so the promise here that Isaiah is making to the people is that you are going to see God, the God who is on your side, the God who is with you. You are going to see this God bring salvation. And as you see that salvation, you will be upheld in the place God has brought you. We're left eventually with a very simple image, and it's maybe the image that we need as we enter 2022, which is the image of a father walking with a child. And he says, "I will hold your hand. I will hold your hand." My granddaughter's been starting to learn to walk, and that's dead exciting. And one of the brilliant things that I now get to do, and it's just a great experience, is walk with my granddaughter, to take her hand and walk. Not that far, but a little ways till she decides to sit down. But this is the image that Isaiah leaves us with. He says, "I will take your right hand and I will walk with you." And as we go into 2022, you know, I said last week it will be, and I think it probably will be, a tough year. But we have the image of a God who's going to take our right hand and walk with us. And although we're not steady on our feet, although maybe we find it hard even to take the next step, God is holding us by the hand and walking with us, so we don't need to fear, because God is with us, and he is our God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the challenge of this year. And we pray that as we come to face this new year, Lord, that we will know that calling. We will know that we are your covenant people. Lord, help us to reflect on what it means to have been called by you, what that calling means in terms of our commitment to one another, and what that calling means in terms of your mission in the world. Lord, let us, as we enter 2022, express and embody that mission and that calling. Lord, I ask this in your name. Amen. We're going to come now to a covenant commitment in terms of a response to what we've just heard. So if we've got leaflets, hopefully we can have it on the overheads. And we're going to do our Thanksgiving prayer. And then we'll lead, stand together to declare our covenant together. Again, if you're at home, I would encourage you that you can join with us in this. So let's pray together. Again, if you can respond where it invites response, we praise your holy name, O Lord. Let us give thanks to God for his many mercies. O God, our Father, the fountain of all goodness, you have been gracious to us, not only in the year that is past, but through all the years of our life. We give you thanks for your loving kindness, which has filled our days and brought us to this time and place. We praise your holy name, O Lord. You have given us life and reason and set us in a world which is full of your glory. You have comforted us with family and friends and ministered to us through the hands and minds of those around us. We praise your holy name, O Lord. You set in our hearts a hunger for you and given us your peace. You have redeemed us and called us to a high calling in Christ Jesus. You have given us a place in the fellowship of your Spirit and the witness of your church. We praise your holy name, O Lord. In darkness, you have been our light. In trouble and temptation, a rock of strength. In our joys, the very spirit of joy. And in our labors, the all-sufficient reward. We praise your holy name, O Lord. You have remembered us when we have forgotten you, followed us when we have fled from you, and met us with forgiveness when we have turned back to you. For all your patience and the abundance of your grace, we praise your holy name. Amen. Let's stand together as we make our covenant declaration. Let's say this all together. We, the people of Stirling Baptist Church, do hereby solemnly covenant and agree that God has called us to be his people in this place, in partnership with other Christians in our neighborhood. Having received Christ as our Lord and Savior, we commit ourselves before God to do the following: protect the unity of our church by acting in love towards other members, by refusing to gossip, by respecting and supporting its leaders. Support the life of our church by attending faithfully, by living a godly life, by giving regularly. Share in the work of our church by praying for it and its growth, by using my gifts and talents, by making myself available to serve. Uphold the message of our church by caring for the poor and oppressed, by warmly welcoming those who visit, by inviting the unchurched to attend. We therefore commit ourselves as a gathered community to be the family of God in this place, worshiping the Father, living the life into which Jesus calls us, and sharing all that the Spirit gives to us. Amen. Amen.